estate or golf, whatever your niche is to find a convention, and hopefully it's in a town near you or whatever the case is, but you know, go on the internet and find if there's anything like that. And I would probably go to one of these type of events or conventions or seminars or whatever the case is. It doesn't cost you you know, anything just to hang out in a hotel lobby for 3 days or something like that and get to know some of the experts in the field and get to know them, ask them, you know, after you get to know them, ask them, you know, if they do, you know, an interview like we're doing right now in a hotel room or maybe a teleseminar, and then, you know, right from there you can probably create a pretty quick product and then get these people to help you launch it, and, you know, it'll all come together, you know, tying in all that leverage, and you can start a teleseminar series and start building a list, and a lot of things you can do with a teleseminar. And we're going to talk off the record because you guys paid to watch this information, but business cards don't do joint ventures. They get stacked in my wallet and just put somewhere. So the worst thing that you can do is walk up to somebody and go, "Hi, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so.com, and if you're interested in what I got this ebook, and we can really, you know, in the hotel lobby and, you know, the bar, you don't have to drink. Even if you don't drink, doesn't mean that you can't have it on the bar.
It's better if you don't.
Yeah.
No.
But
just know how to buy a drink.
Right. Exactly. This is where the million-dollar joint ventures are made. And they're made in the social settings after hours or in between breaks with coffee and everything like that.
Well, it's worth pointing out that this DVD right here was the result of, you know, us hanging out in the front of Yonex Silver Seminar. So proper to Yonex.
Well, another part of that was, you know, you mentioned earlier that you sort of did the social proof thing with all these experts who are going to be coming up to the room. Do you want to be part of that? Well, sure, I'll be an expert. Why not?
Real quick principles of teleseminar. Number one, when you're selling the opt-in for the call, you want to tell them that they're going to get the call information in an email sent to them, so they don't put test@yahoo.com thinking that the next thing that you want to do is to make it viral on the thank you page. Give them an incentive and say, so as soon as they opt in, you say something. Have them tell a friend that says, if you have anybody that you think would be interested in this call, please let them know. And if you can enter just three names, we'll give you this free, whatever PDF report, that you can print out to take notes on the call or something like that. And now you get three people just by putting that in there, and you're going to get more people on the call. And it's easy one step to put in. The next thing that you definitely want to do is just before the call is starting, is you want to email that list probably like at 8:45 if it's a 9 p.m. teleseminar with the subject line, first name, the call is starting now. And at that time, you give them as well, the you know, don't make them go to a page. Just give them, here's the number to dial in, here's the access code, the call has started. And you want to get them on now, because I think we've all printed something that says, oh, I want to make this teleseminar. And then all of a sudden you get busy and you're like, oh man, I missed that call tonight. So,
well, let's remember also the 30 days thing. A lot of people say, well, gosh, you know, I mean, I need to give people like 4 or 5 weeks before the call. No. Let me tell you, ideally you would never, I've never given more than 7 or 8 days, and I like actually to do it within just 48 hours, a couple of days. I mean, you really don't need to have a lot of lead time for this. And the reason that that's really important is because if for some reason you screwed up and people don't show up, you now need to be able to replicate that with another niche, another product, different bullets, different benefits. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to really crank these things out, a couple of them, maybe two or three, the potential to crank out a couple in within a week or so, because you only have 30 days, right? We have 30 days to do this project. So bang, we need to get going quick. And then your idea is so important. You can also do that with double opt-in. Some people use double opt-in. Some people say, I'm not going to use single opt-in. Hey, that's fine. You make them double opt in to get that code.
You've got to
click this thing to confirm your name on the list so you can get the time, the number, and the code.
And the email that goes out should be, I like to do right at the top, print this page, write in the email, and print this page and tape it to your PC. That usually goes out on all my teleseminars. Here's your call information. Small little benefit, don't forget, there'll be life-changing information on this call. You definitely want to make this call more than anything this week or whatever. And then just a couple of basics on the teleseminar. When you get people on a teleseminar, it's good to tell them how long the call is going to be. Usually arrange something with the speaker to have done a bonus or with you, and tell them that that's going to be revealed at the end for anybody that, you know, that makes it on. Because you don't want people, if you have a call to action at the end of a 60-minute call and somebody gets off after 55 minutes, and the entire campaign that you just did was a total waste. You know, because, you know, certainly you want to deliver great content to get them all excited to hear the call to action at the end. So you want to let them know, you know, at the end, Jonathan's got something very special I asked him to put together for you, and I think you're going to be really, really happy to see what that is. So make sure you stay to the end of the call.
Well, I got two things. You know, one, you said send an email out at 8:45. Mm-hmm. Now, how many of you have gotten an email about a teleseminar that says it starts in 15 minutes and you get it like the next day at 8 a.m.?
Yeah!
Send it early, a little bit earlier.
Yeah, that's why you want to send it to that sub list. 2,000 names queued up pretty fast.
Second thing I want to mention, this is actually something I learned from Selman on the registration pages after somebody registers for a teleseminar. Now, we're talking about generating some money pretty quickly here.
Oh, you're going to bring it up. All right, this is freaking awesome!
All right, so I'm talking to Selman on the phone, and
Selman doesn't get excited.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit excited. But anyway, we're talking about generating some money at one-time offers, which is something that most of the people in this room are familiar with. But he goes, look, I put this little thing on my thank you page that says, do your homework.
I paid $10,000 before the teleseminar happened.
Do your homework. And what was do your homework? It was a link to a Resale Rights product or another product or their product.
What I do is...
the person's front-end product.
Okay, so here's what I do. On the thank you page, I give them the phone number and the email. And I also automatically email it to them. It says, hey, be on the call, here's your information, print out this page. Oh, you need to get a fast start. You know, if you really want to be properly prepared for this call,
you need to buy onions.
You've got to buy this stuff. Now, there are two ways of doing this. Number one is if you're doing a call with somebody else who's already an expert and you're going to be selling their product on the end, sell one of their intro products through your affiliate link. That way you don't need to think about it, you just get a check in the mail. That's a good one. We just did that with Sean Casey recently, and we made like $10,000 before the teleseminar happened. It was great. And then the other way that I do it is if I'm going to be running through my own processor, then I go to one of Russell's sites, like The Lost Files or Self-Improvement Millionaires or whatever, and I find a product that's a Resale Rights or a public domain thing or rebrandable. I put my name on it. In the footer of that thing, I put a link to where we're going to be selling the bid product on the teleseminar. So I end up selling 5, 6, or 10 of my bid products, right, before the teleseminar happens. The sweet spot for homework so far is between $47 and $67. And yeah, you can do it with Resale Rights products or rebrandable products or whatever, or even just a Resale Rights product, and then you like put a cover letter, like a downloadable, you know, important instructions. Read this before you read anything else, and just have a link where they can go buy something else.
Because you're getting these people, you're getting them. You know, a lot of people think the funnel works over, you know, get them the opt-in, give them the 7-day newsletter, get the relationship, and like 9 months later, like Gary Halbert says, you know, buyers are like porcupines in heat. If they're at your site, they're at your site for a reason. There's a reason somehow that they're on somebody's list, and there's a reason why they're interested, and they've already gave their name. So now they're in that frame. You got a captive audience. You got to make that offer right there with these people.
I mean, you mentioned ADD. They're interested now. They may not be interested later.
I have ADD. I know what it's like.
And what I've learned in a teleseminar, 6 questions makes an hour. And like some people, you know, one thing you never want to do in a teleseminar is write a friggin' script. You say this, and then I'll say this, and you say, "Oh gosh, wow, that sounds nonsense."
Oh gosh, wow.
You want to get 6 important questions, then you want to contact the person. I like to do it a day before the call, or even the day of the call, and say, "Here's what my members wanted. Is there anything you don't want to cover? Well, specifically, don't go there. I've done that in the past, and we should stay away from there. And is there anything here that I didn't mention that you do want to cover? Yeah, what seems to work really well is when we start talking about this guy's testimonial. So, okay, well, we'll put that in there. And then when you're doing those, if you want, like I said, 6 questions usually makes an hour. So when you're doing your call, what you want to do is you want to basically see where everything is segueing. And if question number one, and then goes into question number two, but then all of a sudden that's a perfect lead for question number five, then go into question number five.
You don't want to talk about plowing and then harvest.
Yeah, because you don't want the guy saying, yeah, so what we did is we implemented that, and the next thing we saw was a 600% conversion on, you know, on this. Great. What I wanted to ask you next was about your advertising budget. Yeah, it doesn't flow at all. You know, if you got to bring that into the next, you know, to three questions later, but those are the things that I've seen, like, sometimes go a little weird on a teleseminar. It's like somebody's fixed to this this cue card with notes, and
go ahead, Tom.
I was just going to say, as important as all that is, like, your first couple teleseminars, they're probably going to suck. You know, and it's okay if you botch one up, or you have a little bit of silence, or you botch 10 of them up, or whatever. I mean,
when I first started,
you're choppy, you're nervous, you're picking up the phone, falling down because your hands are sweaty. Whatever, it's okay. You do a few of them, and then you can start kicking butt.
A lot of times that I've done a lot as well is make sure you deliver on your call what you promised on the screen space. Because, you know, we're going to give you the two biggest mistakes people make or whatever, but sometimes the call just goes in a different direction, and then the people just start contacting you like, hey, you never gave me the two biggest mistakes that people make when they're starting. Oh, wow, we didn't. You know, so be cognizant of what you promised, because, you know, people sign up, and sometimes they're just waiting through that whole call, and you know, there's a big difference between overpromise and underdeliver, and underpromise and overdeliver. And
you get them the hook; they gotta have the payoff somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, we told them to print the page; they're looking at it.
I don't know how common this is, but it's what I go through, so maybe it's worth mentioning. Is you know, I keep thinking Abbott and Costello, right? When people are new on the phone, I am so Costello. Like, out there, go off in 12 different directions. If I do not have an Abbott, the straight guy, to keep me in line, the call just sucks. I mean, it's just not good. So, you know, if you look at it as the people that you're working with, if you get the right personality, or if you look at it, you know, as a team going at the experts, you know, so if you're just out there and you find yourself going off on tangents, and you find somebody to work with that's organized, and that's like a whole other DVD about having the organized against your creative mind. That's a whole other thing. But, you know, maybe working together with somebody who kind of mirrors your strengths and weaknesses is worth getting.
Well, on that same line of thinking, every time I've actually gotten on the phone with somebody before a call to talk to them, like the day before or an hour before the call, so I have an idea what their personality is or where they segue or their speech patterns, it's always a much better call.
Yeah, you never want to meet them on the phone.
Because, yeah, sometimes you get on the phone, people can tell that you don't know who you're talking to.
Right,
it's the first time on the line.
So
and
that's
yeah, I mean, even if it's just a 15-minute, hey, this is me, this is what we're going to talk about, let's introduce each other, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Call your guest by the wrong name.
I want to say something real quick. There's a distinction with teleseminars too we need to make. There's two types. There's one where you're selling whatever, and there's one where you're creating content, and you usually don't sell on those ones. The ones that you're selling, the ones we usually do are about 60 minutes long. You begin the introduction, you teach like 50 minutes of content, and then you sell something at the last. The ones you're teaching something, these are the ones where you're just like 90 minutes to 2 hours where you're just answering question after question after question, and then you're selling stuff. For example, when we did our affiliate boot camp, we did probably 10 different teleseminars with list owners where we got on the list on the phone with their list, sold the whole thing, and then everyone paid $1,000. They joined. We got all these people into the door, and then we went and said, okay, now here's the content, and then we said, you know, teleseminar number one. And the way I teach my things, we do really modular learning. So, like, module one is this, module two is this. And before each call, we say, okay, module one, what are your questions? And then we get all the people submitting their questions, and then we go whoever we're interviewing or whoever is teaching, and we go through it, and we teach for 2 hours in module two. And first we deliver just like that as an 8-week teleseminar series, and then we go back afterwards, take the recordings and turn it into a physical product and sell it again.
Now let's make a point about physical stuff. I mean, you can make a lot of money with physical products, and there are a ton of people in the room that have done it. I don't sell a lot of physical products. We just did this with Weight Loss for Marketers. Same concept, right? And it's not physical. We're still selling it for $300. We're still doing joint ventures with people from live teleseminars. You know, we're in the process of rolling the exact same model out right now with all sorts of marketers, with people that want to lose weight on their list. So it's the same principle.
Some markets are going to call for physical. Some are going to call for digital. I could assume like stockbroking and seminar and everything like that is going to have to be, you know, wrapped up real well and, you know, put on DVD and stuff like that. So that's something that's going to be different for each market. So you'd have to test it and see which one has, you know, better conversions, better refund rates. But it's good to point out, like Jeff said, if you did want to do a physical product, where could you go?
Yep.
And Jeff Walker mentioned disc.com, D-I-S-K.com, and also Speaker Fulfillment Services. .com also does a lot of work for a lot of people in our industry.
And the difference there is Speaker Fulfillment Services will do small quantities. So before you know that you're going to send 10,000 of these things, I might only sell 50 or 100, Speaker Fulfillment Services will do the small batch.
They'll take the originals and do 50 prints and sell it out for you.
Yeah. Cool. And the other key thing that I was realizing here is the cash flow thing. So because what people might not realize is when you sold that call at the end, you've taken orders. That doesn't mean everything has to be delivered then. That means they can start to attend the calls. So what you're selling, what you've actually sold them, is the right to attend
right
the calls
attend
and
the
collected all
creation.
That money ahead of time.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
So
what is your product creation?
That's how we're doing this right now. Very cool.
People ask the questions, and I'm like, I don't know any of these answers. So then I call it, you know, the search engine one, and people come back, all the stuff, and I don't know anything about search engines, so I call up Brad Fallon. I'm like, hey, do you want to help me out? He's like, yeah, I'll be on a call, and then call Brad Callen, and, you know, I keep calling people, and it's the end of, we had to think 10 extra teleseminars because I didn't know the answer to any questions. So
we're just putting the product together now.
But yeah. That's a perfect example of, I mean, you know a lot of stuff, but you don't have to know anything. You know, you don't have to know the answers to anything.
Let the expert be the expert.
Yeah.
And ask the questions for the
TV
audience.
TV stations have been doing that for years.
Yeah. Right?
You know, they always have to start.
You're not reinventing the wheel here. You're just simply moving it from the traditional mindset of television media.
That's a great point.
To the internet. And with the explosion of, the explosion of internet television. There's a new thing called sliver casting. It's a new term, and it literally means I'm marketing to a very small sliver. Niche. It's the same thing. It's niche marketing. If you can dominate with a television series on weasel hunting or whatever, I don't care, how to build a table or repair nicks in a table. If you can do 5-6 programs on it, you've got a television station. If you got the money, stream it. If not, have people pay to get access on a video on demand basis. There's a company called Protected Video that will do a great job for you in protecting that with digital rights management. So there's a whole other world out there. Once you've developed content, and Wired had a great article a couple of months ago called The Long Tail of Content. If you ever get a chance to read it, it's probably the definitive article on how long content can make you money. Take a look at the studios. There are movies from 1945 that still get licensed at HBO, at Cinemax, and real. That movie, every time it's licensed, makes $50,000 plus a slice of the advertising revenue. Creating content is a long-term wealth strategy, and you can't go wrong creating content. Even if you do it wrong at first, you're going to end up getting it right, and there is somebody out there who wants to see that content, and the internet is giving you a way bigger net to catch those people than you ever had a chance to before. 10 years ago, try and do that on television. You couldn't break into a cable station. Now, you got a video camera, doom, you are now a television station.
One thing I'd like to recommend that you said about the infomercials is if you get a chance and you're watching this, stay up a little late, watch two or three of the different infomercials, and look at how one person, their role is to be the expert, and the other person's role is to ask the questions of the audience. And there's always that format. Your teleseminar can follow that too, where that person is, you know, saying, wow, so do me a favor, just explain that concept that you said about the opt-in process where they got that offer. Not that you know it all, but you're asking the questions for the audience with not that hokey excitement that you'll see in, you know maybe against the knife commercial.
Water and purple.
I want to mention something here too. This is like the most perfect business model for somebody who's getting started, because you come in this market, you're a no name, you go and you get expert A, B, C, and D, and you interview them. And what happens is that all these people see you interviewing A, B, C, and D, and suddenly they put you on the same level as them. Yep. You become expert.
Yes.
And when I got started, I was nobody, and I became a reporter. I started interviewing. I mean, you guys have been on my calls. I've interviewed a million people. Now, suddenly, people start wanting to interview me. They buy my products now because they think I'm this great thing, and I learned everything by interviewing everybody else.